So there was a mom. She was sick. She was in bed. Her little daughter thought, I need to help out my mom. So she was going to be a good little nurse. And so she went in, saw mom. She gave her an extra pillow, gave her a magazine to read, and she said, I'm not done yet. So she went in the kitchen. She boiled some water. She put some tea leaves in this water that was now boiling. She strained it, put it in a cup, and she took it to her mom. Her mom was really surprised. You know how to make tea? She said, oh yeah, mom, I've been watching you. I know how to make it. She said, I boiled the water. I put the tea leaves in it. I strained it, put it in this cup, and brought it to you. She said, but I couldn't find a strainer, so I went ahead and used a fly swatter. To which the mom said, you did what? And she said, oh, don't worry, mom. I didn't use the new one. I used the old one. And then there was this little boy who went with his dad to the grocery store preparing for Mother's Day. And so the dad thought, you know, this would be really special if our son goes and gets his mom some flowers. They sold them there in the grocery store. And so the little boy went and picked out some flowers. The dad didn't think anything of it. The next day, the little boy so proudly gives those flowers to his mom. His mom looks at the little card attached to those flowers and says, rest in peace? To which the little boy then says, well, yeah, mom, I always hear you saying, man, I could use some rest. And couldn't we get a little bit of peace around here? So he thought, rest in peace. This is perfect. So today is Mother's Day, and we want to wish all the mothers here today happy Mother's Day. To grandmothers, to great grandmothers, perhaps even great great grandmothers, to mothers, to stepmothers, to foster mothers, to those women, those extra special women who have stepped up to act as mothers for those in need. Happy Mother's Day to you all. We all appreciate you. And as we just saying just a moment ago, we do indeed love you, the love of the Lord, and we appreciate the work that you do. That seems even understated to say it that way. We appreciate you. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. I'd like to start there this morning. Acts 16, 1 through 5. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. Stop here for just a moment. This is what we're reading here in Acts 16 is likely about the second time that Paul goes to see these folks. Likely on his first missionary journey, he met Timothy and his family and the Christians in this area. And Paul was the one that preached the gospel to them in one of his missionary journeys. And so this area is South Central Asia Minor, modern day Turkey. So this is his second trip there. Verse 2, the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. This is Timothy. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him. And because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So Timothy, older now, certainly not 8 days old, is circumcised. And we ask the question, why did Paul see it as so important to have Timothy, a young man, circumcised? Well, Paul is going and preaching to various people, Greeks, Gentiles, and Jews. In order to build credibility with the Jews, he had Timothy, his now companion, circumcised. It's like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. And so this is an exercise in contextualization. It's becoming like the people in order to take them to a new place, a new spot, namely to Jesus Christ. Verse 4, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. And so now Paul and this young man Timothy are partners in the gospel, going to different churches. Perhaps Paul would preach for a little while, and then Timothy, I mean, to follow in Paul's footsteps, would have been challenging, would get up and preach. Maybe they would have side conversations in order to preach the gospel to these folks. Perhaps going to people's homes to preach the gospel. The point is, Paul and Timothy were companions in the faith. But this sermon really isn't about Timothy. At one point, Paul is going to send Timothy to Corinth, which is like sending someone to the middle of a storm to do some work without any sort of umbrella or shelter. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So Timothy heads to Corinth as a messenger of hope and instruction for the people. It's important. Paul now trust Timothy enough to go to these people to help them to grow in the faith. And we know about the folks in Corinth that they had some incredible problems. A church that was on the brink of division because of leadership issues and communion and sexual sin, all kinds of issues. And at this point, Paul sends Timothy, this young man in the faith, to go and deal with these folks. That's his plan, anyways. But this sermon is not about Timothy. Let's look now at Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Things were going better in Philippi than they were in Corinth, but they still were not perfect. Remember two women, Yodia and Syntyche? Paul's hope that they would agree with one another in the Lord. So Paul is going to trust Timothy to go and help that church, just like the church in Corinth. I have no one else like him, Paul says of Timothy, who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Listen what he says, referring to Timothy. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. Paul sees Timothy as a son. And Timothy, this son in the faith, is focused on others. He's putting the interest not only of others, but the interest of Jesus Christ above his own, putting his life at risk, making incredible sacrifices for the sake of the gospel, including those Christians in Philippi. Timothy is to be imitated just as Paul is to be imitated because of his incredible faith. But this sermon is not about Timothy. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 21, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10, and elsewhere, Paul is going to refer to Timothy as a co-worker in the faith. Arm in arm, linked together to share with others that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. They are ambassadors. They're proclaimers of this truth. Timothy is following right in the footsteps of his mentor, Paul. And we say, I want to have that kind of faith. But this sermon is not about Timothy. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 4. The introduction says there, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, listen to this words of endearment here, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I love the way that Paul talks about this relationship that he has with Timothy. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Who do you constantly remember in your prayers? Recalling your tears, I long to see you, Paul says of Timothy, so that I may be filled with joy. These two men have journeying together for the sake of the gospel. At this point, perhaps they could complete each other's sentences. They knew how to get one another to laugh. They knew how to get one another to cry. I mean, they knew one another. Timothy, this young man who impressed Paul, is now together with Paul, preaching the good news of Jesus. But the sermon really isn't about Timothy. Verse 5 now of 2 Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And so Timothy, he stood on the shoulders of Lois and Eunice, mother and grandmother, who shared with him the word of God. From infancy shared the word of God with them. They planted these seeds that grew into this force for the gospel, partnering with Paul and others to preach the good news to those who needed to hear it. And so when you look at this, questions fill your mind, right? How proud were Lois and Eunice because of Timothy? Did their eyes just light up when they talked about Timothy? I wonder what went through Eunice's mind when her son approached her about going on a mission trip. Okay, when are you going to be back? To which Timothy says, I don't know. I wondered about the conversation between Eunice and her husband. It looks like, from what we can tell in Scripture, that Timothy's father was not a believer. Mentions about his mother being a believer, but doesn't say anything about his father being a believer. Doesn't mention anything in Acts, doesn't mention anything in 1 or 2 Timothy about that. How did that conversation go between Eunice and her husband? Wait a second. Timothy is going to do what? He's going to go where? He's going to go with who? Did she have to stand up for her son? But wait. This kind of mission, this is no ordinary mission that he is going to be participating in. This is the mission of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the teacher, the one through whom people are going to have salvation, to which he says, huh? Okay, I wonder how those conversations went. And so this sermon, it's not really about Timothy, but what I want us to think about for just a few moments this morning is Lois and Eunice, a grandmother and a mother who instilled in their son or their grandson a robust, powerful faith. When someone says, let's go on a journey together, and Timothy says, yes, and Eunice and Lois say, yes, let's do it. So what you see here is this what we might call a ripple effect. It's been an incredible splash of faith that's produced by these ladies. And then you see this young man. He learns from a man named Paul. He gets just completely consumed by the gospel of Christ. And now he finds himself traveling to places like Corinth and Philippi to teach others about the gospel. He goes into the middle of a storm where there's division and backbiting and hurt and pain. And he says, let's find peace and unity in Jesus Christ, who is the one true King. But it all started with a lady named Lois and a lady named Eunice. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people came to know Jesus because of their sons and their grandsons' work. We know this ripple effect. We see it at play. And so a son will root for the same team as his dad, oftentimes go into the same sort of profession. In relationships in general, not just in family relationship, but just in general, we have an impact on other people, don't we? Or we're impacted by other people in our behavior, in our mannerisms, the way that we look, what we're passionate about. You know, whether you like the Longhorns or the Aggies or the Sooners, whatever the case may be, right? There's this ripple effect that's in play. And of course, it hits us in all manners of faith as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, we see this at play again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you had known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so reading Paul's instructions here to Timothy, it calls us back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, doesn't it? His mother was being obedient to the teachings of the Jewish faith. Hear, O Israel, this is Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Lois, Eunice, impress them on Timothy. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Timothy, come here. Let me tell you about a God who led our people out of Egypt. Let me tell you about a God who has protected our people throughout history. Let me tell you about a God who has demonstrated his love for us and caring for us, giving us our daily bread, continuing to lead us and be present with us. Let me tell you about a God who has sent his Son to his people, the Messiah we've been waiting for. He's come. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about a cross and about a resurrection. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So we ask, how did Eunice and how did Lois, how did they do this? What did this look like? We want to know because we want to do that ourselves, right? We want to teach our children the way of the Lord. We want to teach them about God's faithfulness and love and the salvation that comes through His Son. And today, on this Mother's Day, I want to say, moms, you are making an impact. The splash of your faith is rippling out and it's affecting your children. Doing the dishes, the laundry. Hopefully you're not the only one doing it in your household, but taking care of the kids, the homework, the soccer practices, band practices, going to different lessons for music, when you're praying, when you're teaching the kids and you don't, like, are they listening? They're looking the other way and they're singing right now, but I'm going to keep doing this. Well, you're knee-deep, here's the point, well, you're knee-deep in your chores and the homework you have an important job. So you ask the question, am I making a difference? Is it sinking in at all? My exhortation to you today is to continue to teach, continue to model. Andy Stanley said, maybe your biggest contribution to the kingdom is not something you do, but someone you raise. Eunice and Lois, they raised a force for the gospel in Timothy. Could they, you wonder back, right? Like when Timothy was 4 or 5, you know? Was that in their mind? Man, Timothy is one day going to be with this apostle Paul, and he's going to go around to all these different places, Corinth and Philippi and other places, and teach people about Jesus Christ, about what God is continuing to do for his people today. Was that in their mind at that point? Who knows, but look at the ripples that took place as it reached to people in Philippi and Corinth and Ephesus and elsewhere. Maybe someone that you are raising. That may be your kingdom contribution. And so the affirmation is, keep it up. Continue to live out your faith in the context of your home for the sake of the kingdom. But there's a challenge attached to this as well. Simply put, impact your kids for Jesus, just like Eunice and Lois did. So James Dobson put it this way, the main job of a parent is to get the hand of Jesus into the hand of a child before it's too late. I'm going to share that again. The main job of a parent is to get the hand of Jesus into the hand, or the hand of Jesus into the hand of the child before it's too late. I was having lunch with Tom Hagen just last week. Some of you might know Tom. He works for the Herald of Truth out of Abilene, Texas. And he told me a story that made an incredible impact on him. He was probably 9 or 10 years old at the time, living in Tennessee. Every year, their church would go on a campaign to different areas to teach people the gospel. And that year, this congregation was going to Virginia. They'd picked a town in Virginia to go to. Tom really didn't want to go. He had other things that he would rather be doing, sports and playing and all that kind of stuff. And so he asked his mom, he said, Mom, why are we going up here to Virginia? I mean, it seems like such a waste of time. I have so many other things I'd rather do. And his mom said, well, your dad's a deacon, and so we probably should go. Well, even at 10 years old, Tom was pretty perceptive. He said, not all the deacons are going on this campaign. And then his mom said this, we're going because of Jesus. We're going because we love Jesus. Now, it doesn't surprise me a bit, based on that comment alone, that Tom Hagen has dedicated his life to sharing the gospel of Jesus with others. We're going because of Jesus. The ripple effect is at work. My mom was the Mike Meyer, not from Austin Powers, but Mike Meyer of the Leander Church of Christ. Some of you got that. If you haven't, we'll just leave it at that. But she's the VBS person, right? At my home church. And I vividly remember one morning. It was vacation Bible school week. And at that point, we did vacation Bible school Monday through Friday. Started at 10 a.m. I was riding in a van with my mom, and it was one of those minivans that had an extended top on it, I guess, so the kids could get up and walk around and play while she was driving. And we're driving around picking up other kids, and I was so upset. I just like we don't need to be leaving so early for vacation Bible school. There's things I want to be doing at home, things of that sort. But it hit me then, maybe just a little bit later. There were so many responsibilities that my mom had in getting vacation Bible school ready. You can talk to Mike about all those responsibilities. But we would leave at about 8:30, and we would drive around, and we would pick up kids to take them to vacation Bible school. Maybe I didn't get it at the time. I don't remember exactly when I got it. But what it came down to is my mom was doing that because of Jesus. There's an opportunity to get these kids in the neighborhood to a place where they would hear about the gospel, they would hear the Bible being taught, they would interact with other Christians. And so, even though she had so many things to do at the building to get ready, here we were driving around, picking up kids, not enough seatbelts for all the kids. So we were praying that no one would meet Jesus before we got to the church building where they would hear about Jesus. But the ripple effect is at work, making an impact for the gospel. I want to say this as well before we finish up. For the women who are here today, who have wanted to be a mother, but for whatever reason, it didn't work out, I want to say we're sorry. We certainly don't always understand why some things happen and other things don't. So we're going to simply keep it at this today. We're sorry. For those of you who never knew your mother, we wish it weren't that way. We're praying that sometime in the future there will be a joyous reunion. For those of you who have recently lost their mother, or maybe even lost a child, making today's day very bittersweet for you, we mourn with you in Christian fellowship. For those of you whose mothers turned their back on them or abandoned them, and this day breeds more bitterness than happiness, we can't imagine the pain that you feel on a day like this. Our hearts, they go out to you today. We're thankful that you are here today, and our prayer is that God will continue to draw you closer to Him. And for the mother who's here today, whose mind is more full of regret than joy, on a day like today, this day is a cold reminder of missed opportunities. Here's our deal. We ask God to continue to pave the way for forgiveness and fresh opportunities in your future. And we mean that from the bottom of our heart. As we close today, I'd ask that we all stand and read from Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 24. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. It's not only mothers, but all of us have this opportunity to make an impact on others for Jesus. And the coolest thing about it, this is the plans and purposes and power of God at work. You never know how far those ripples will go. You don't know who they'll impact, who they'll affect. We'll trust that God is going to work. Mothers, we appreciate you, the impact that you've made on us for Jesus. And we will do our best to continue that kind of legacy by making an impact on others for Jesus. there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the church family, we're here for you. Here in a moment, David's going to lead us in an invitation song. If you have something that you'd like to share in a public way, you can come down to the front and share that, and we will pray for you that time. There will also be shepherds available in the back if you'd like to talk to them in a more private manner. Perhaps today, there's someone here that is ready to give your life over to Jesus Christ in baptism. If that's the case, we'd love to assist you in that and witness you make that incredible, faithful decision today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we continue to praise our incredible God. Live for Jesus.